Well, guys, in 2003, I was 43 years old. So that was 16 years ago, if my math is correct, and I am not a math magician. I make numbers disappear. I meant to say that, Sandra. Thank you. Anyway, I received this. In 2003, I was running a bunch of 5Ks. There was a couple friends of mine, and what we would do is we would look at the kind of neatest or the different kind of 5Ks to run. And so we would just go out and say, oh, this looks cool. The T-shirt looks cool. Let's go run this 5K. And so he called me up one day, the guy I was running with, and he goes, hey, man, Eagles Landing High School is raising money for their cross-country team, so let's go run this 5K. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I said, you sure we're not running cross-country? He goes, no, man, it's a 5K to raise money for their cross-country team. So we get to Atlanta Beach in 2003, and it is a cross-country race, okay? So we're running through the woods. And if that's not bad enough, because most of the time on a 5K, you're kind of running, you're looking at everybody, you're saying, hey. When you're running a 5K cross-country, you're looking down like this because there's stumps and twigs and people and, just laid out and sprawled out everywhere. And those of you that are familiar with Atlanta Beach, back in that time, they didn't have that nice little, walking trail. They had just these wood, it was in the woods. It was like really wood, and we're running cross-country. And to make things even better, it rained. Poured down rain. So not only are we running like this, your shoes are going like, And so it's like miserable, miserable, miserable. And I remember coming out at the very end thinking, oh my gosh, there is the end. I am so glad to get finished. And I mean, there are hundreds of people just standing over there done, right? And I come running up and I'm like, whew, I'm glad this is over, man. I'm going to throw these shoes away, get me a new pair of shoes. And a girl comes up to me and says, hey, you're a winner. And I said, I'm looking around at all of these people like, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm like one of the last ones coming in. She says, no, you're a winner. And I'm sitting there going, no, I'm not. You ever had those kind of conversations with people where someone will tell you something and you know they're wrong? And you just say, what are you talking about? You are crazy. So she puts this in my hand. She says, no, you actually came in third place in the men's 40 to 49-year-old division. And I'm like, woohoo! So I ask her, I said, okay, thank you for this. How many men are in the 40 to 49 division? She said, 3. So I won, but I didn't beat anybody. And I got this little thing here that says third place, 40 to 49. I've thrown it like in the closet somewhere. I had to dig it out for this today. But have you ever been told that you were something and you just know that's not me? I'm not a winner. I'm not who it says that I am. And I think it's similar to the gospel when we look at what God says. And Steve, can you turn this down? Because this sounds like I am just screaming at everybody. God says you are perfect. You are holy, you are blameless, you are above reproach. And you look at him and you say, no, I'm not. Because you know you. You know the things you think, you know the things that you feel, you know the things that you do. God, I am not holy, I am not blameless, I am not above reproach. We know the bad habits about ourselves, we know the thoughts that we have. And common sense tells us that we can't be something that we're not. But there is a distinct way that we are to see ourselves as citizens in the kingdom of God. We are to be different than the world around us. God says we are this, but we tell ourselves no because we compare ourselves to the world. We look at our status, our money, our position. But there's a distinct way that citizens of the kingdom of God relate to God. And because of that, this transforms us and it changes us with our relationships with others. Last week, we started with Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And we started with the Beatitudes. And I think it's important that Jesus started with this verse here, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He begins here because Jesus knows we are spiritually needy. We don't have it all together. He knows that we are spiritually needy. And it's like the example that I said where we kind of feel like we're on the right road. We're panicked. And then once we realize we're on the right road, we go, ah. And Jesus knows we're on the right road when we stop and say, you know what? I don't have it all together. I'm not a winner. I need you. And because we need him, he begins this new life in us. I want to take us back before I get into the section that we're going to talk about today. But I think this is important. The spiritually needy, the poor in spirit. Dallas Willard even said it this way. He said, we come to know the kingdom of heaven when we become spiritual zeros. In other words, we realize it is not in us at all, but it is in the work of Jesus in our lives. Let me give you a little background to what's happening in chapter 5. In chapter 4, Jesus is beginning his ministry. He calls actually four disciples. There's Andrew and Peter, then there's James and John, and he tells them to come follow me. And as he's following, all these people are starting to come to him, and it says this in verses 24 and 25, so his fame spread, this is Jesus, throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. In other words, all of these people are following him. All of these people that have nothing, they are spiritual zeros. They are spiritually needy. They don't have anything to offer. You are blessed. You are holy. You are perfect. You are blameless. You are above reproach. And these people are looking at him saying, no, we're not. And so these are the people that are following Jesus. Do you get that? These people have nothing to offer. They're unhealthy. For the most part, they're unwanted. These people are unimportant, and they come, and Jesus looks at them, and this is what he says in our verse today. He looks at these ragtag, ragamuffin people, and he says to them, verse 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Then he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. To the sick, the paralytic, the afflicted, those in pain, those that are unwanted, unloved, unimportant, he looks at them and says, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world, and let your light shine. And you can only imagine if we were there today, no, I'm not. Jesus, you don't know me. My life, you know, I have this going on in my life and this going on in my life. You don't know the secrets that are going on in my life. So how are we transformed from this brokenness that we feel, from this broken world that we live in, into this salt of the earth and light of the world? You see, the gospel is the good news to those of us that are spiritually needy. The gospel is the good news. God says you're blameless and holy, and we say, no, I'm not. We're holding on to this idea of we have to earn what we get. You know, God, I have to get my life right. I have to make sure that this is okay before I can really feel like really confident in your presence. But we have to receive from God the pure mercy. And when we receive his pure mercy, when we do, God makes us a citizen at that moment of his very kingdom. And Jesus says at that point, hey, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Salt, halas, different, is distinct. It has its own unique thing. Light, phos, photon. We get the words photon, phos. It's visibly distinct. Salt is distinct in its taste. Light is distinct in its vision. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Jesus is not giving a chemistry lesson on how salt can lose its saltiness. Salt has a distinct flavor. Salt makes things good, right? Whenever we go and eat Mexican, the first thing Margie does, you know, when they bring chips to the table, Margie, like, salts the snot out of them. I'm talking about, like, you can't, I mean, you put one in your mouth and you start going, I need water, you know? But salt makes everything good. It makes it taste better. How many of you have ever walked down the chip aisle and you're looking? What do you look for? You look for the salted chips. In fact, if you see chips that say lightly salted or unsalted, you think, I'm passing that by. I don't want something to taste like a shoe. I want something salty. I want something good. And we don't use other minerals. You know, salt's just a mineral. You would never take your French fries and take gypsum and just pour it on your fries and eat it. Salt is unique. It's distinct. It has a particular flavor. Salt makes things better. And when Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, he's saying you make people better. Just by being around them, by letting my light shine through you, you make people better. And this is for all Christ followers. The people on the hillside, they bring nothing to the table, no education, no money, no status. In fact, the popular thinking of the day, oh, you're a paralytic because you deserve it. Oh, you're an epileptic because you deserve it. You're poor because you deserve it. Someone in your life sinned or you sinned and you deserve everything that's happening to you. That's the popular thinking. But Jesus says that we are a reflection of God's humility, his generosity, his forgiveness, his self-sacrificing will. He's saying your past failures, your past life, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is you receive this pure mercy, and you are to be used at that point as a living example of God's mercy and his grace. Guys, that is good news. You're not who you think you were. You're not who you think you are. You're who Jesus says you are. That's the truth we are to live by. Anyone can give their life to Christ and choose to live this life and be used as a living example of his mercy and grace. I think of a story of, there was a young lady who had been divorced. She had two children. And she brought these two children into a new marriage, and this woman had had it hard. Life, not a lot going on for her. And as she met and fell in love with this Christian man, they started their life together, but her mother-in-law, and she was thinking this would be an opportunity for me to actually feel appreciated and wanted maybe for the first time in my life, was rejected by her mother-in-law, who didn't want anything to do with her or her two kids. Not good enough for my son. In fact, shortly into their relationship, it became apparent that they weren't invited to a lot of things. In fact, to hear her tell the story, she says, you know, the couple times that we would go over there, my two children were visibly missing. There were pictures of all of the grandkids and all of the family, but my two kids weren't there. They weren't allowed to be a part of the family. And so many years went by, and one of the other family members went to check on their mother, and when they went, they found her emaciated, and she was going through Alzheimer's, and they didn't know what was going on. And so this lady who had been rejected brought her into the house, and it was only supposed to be for like a week or two until they could get her settled into another home where they could take care of her and everything. And as they brought her in, that week ended up being over a year. And there was one time she put her mother-in-law in the shower, and she was, you know, getting some towels ready, and she looked, and her mother-in-law was just standing there, didn't even remember how to turn on the shower, didn't know what to do. So the lady, fully clothed, got into the shower with her, turned on the water, bathed her, and took care of her. And in a moment of lucidity, the mother-in-law turned around to her and said, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And she said, at that point, my whole heart broke. The things that I thought, the relationship that had been so fractured, in that one moment was completely transformed into something beautiful. And she says, it was only through the mercy and grace that I received from Jesus Christ that I was able to offer this to my mother-in-law and turn that back around. There are some things as the salt of the earth that we need to be aware of. First off, God is going to make all of our failures available to use. Everything that you've gone through, every pain, every heartache, every failure, God can use for something good. And as Christ followers, we don't hide that. Because we say, this is who I was, but that's not who I am. This is what I did, but that's not who I am, and that's not what I do anymore. And God uses that as the salt to bring healing. When we fix ourselves on material things, when we hold on to the fact that, no, I'm not God, I'm not the light of the world, I'm not the salt of the earth, and we hold on to who we are, we hold on to our status and material things, what we want God to do is really work for us and not in us. God, give me a job. God, give me a car. God, do this. God, do that. Instead of, God, do a work in me. God's mercy and God's grace. And another thing, and we talked about this last week, God uses us as peacemakers. And people that are salty, they will do the hard things that have to be done to make peace, to say the things that need to be said in love, to do the things that need to be done instead of just trying to hide. We forgive and we serve. So he switches from salt now to light. He says this in verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Light is visible, and light makes everything around it visible. It's like we don't turn on a flashlight and then put it in a drawer and close the drawer. When the power goes out at your house, you don't light a candle and then put a basket on top of it. You try to get it up, put it on a stand, light the whole area, illuminate. We are a beacon of mercy and love and hope for this dark world. We read about crazy things in the news. I was talking to someone yesterday. We were on an escalator, and we were talking about like the craziness of the world and everything that's going on, and they said to me, you know, I don't even listen to the news anymore. It's like, yeah, you're right. It's absurd. It's crazy. And we are to be distinctly better than that. We are to be distinctly taste like the salt. We are to make things better around us, and we are to be distinctly visible. How has God changed me? I'm living my life different than what I was living before. But we hear this echo in our head. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And we say, no, you don't deserve it. You can't be the light of the world. Think of who you are. Think of what you've done. Think of your thoughts. Think of your actions. Think of your words. And then as Christ followers, we come in here and we sit and we look at the people around us and say, well, you know, I don't know the Bible as good as this person, or I don't know what to say, and so I can't be the light of the world. I'm going to let them be the light of the world. I'm just going to hide it under a bushel. You know, I don't know what to do. And then people remind us of who we are. I get that all the time. Sylvia told me, hey, I ran into someone you went to high school with. And I said, oh, really? And she told me who it was. I went, uh-oh. And they said, yeah, they asked, what, Paul Cook, pastor? If I were to hold on to the things I did in high school, guys, I would never get up in front of you. Well, you know, I might, but it would be a lot different than what I'm doing now. Let's put it that way. I don't deserve it. I don't know enough Bible verses. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't, you know, it's all about me, 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 instead of letting the light and the saltiness of God work through me. And then maybe other people, they come into the church And they look around and they see people sitting in here and they say, like, oh, you know, I'm just a visitor. You know, these people surely haven't experienced what I've experienced. Surely these people haven't gone through what I've gone through. Surely these people haven't failed like I have failed. Surely these people haven't thought the things that I've thought or done the things that I've done. And we sit there and scratch our heads and go, are you kidding? We are as flawed and as messed up and as crazy as you think we are. We've all been there, but we are changed because we worship a God that loves us so much and we've accepted His pure mercy and His grace. And that makes us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If you talk with people, if you come into the church and you spend a few moments with people and you start to talk to them, you will find real people with real stories. The only difference is we are changed because of whose we are. We're all undeserving outside of God. But here, we receive His pure mercy and grace. We bring nothing. Guys, we are the spiritually needy, the spiritual zeros, the poor in spirit. And then God gives us this command in verse 16. Listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Mercy, compassion, generosity, forgiveness, patience. We live our lives devoted to Jesus Christ. You know, the people on the hillside, the spiritual zeros, the people that brought nothing, those are our spiritual ancestors. And we join them because we don't have anything to bring. We don't have anything that makes us different or special. But Jesus still looks at us today and says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Go and make people better. Let your light shine and let it bring glory to God. I want to give you just a few moments to come to the altar, and I want you to get it right with God that, God, you know what? I haven't felt like the salt. I haven't felt like the light of the world. In fact, I've kind of felt beat up. I felt distant. I felt questioning. There's been a lot of things and areas in my life where I just haven't given it to you. But today, Father, I want to take that step and say, you know what? I bring nothing. I bring nothing. But I just want to receive your pure mercy and your grace and your love. And I want to be that salt and I want to be that light that you have called me to be. Instead of saying, you know what? No, I'm not. Today I want you to say, yes, I am. And I want you to take that first step. Would you come now? Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. Father, I pray that we would be the people that you have called us to be. That we would be salt to this earth, that we would be a light to this world, Father, that we would be a city on a hill, that we would be a beacon of your love and your grace and your mercy to a world that is dark and has turned its back on you. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.